Blog Talk Radio.
The law of forgiveness is the title of the lesson. The law of forgiveness. From the lips of the Master Jesus, from St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. I'm going to read it to you and have you repeat it after me for emphasis as I shall pause. This is a part of what is called the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught the disciples. Forgive us our trespasses.
Forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
Now we have a definition of forgiveness from Reverend Ike, and I'm going to have you also repeat it after me as I shall read it. Forgiveness is rooting up.
Forgiveness is rooting up.
And letting go.
And letting go.
Of all hatred.
Of all hatred.
And hatred.
And hatred.
Ladies and gentlemen, forgiveness has a greater importance than the average person ever realizes. Many times, people think that forgiveness is something that you do for other people or to other people. But the first thing that I want to call your attention to is that forgiveness is what you do for yourself. And yes, to yourself. Forgiveness is for your own sake. So repeat after me, forgiveness is for my own sake. You know, holding something against somebody else is just like two guys wrestling. In order to hold somebody else down, you have to stay down yourself. And in order to get a loose and rise, you have to turn the other person a loose. Is that right? And so, to tell you the truth, forgiveness may also be symbolized in this way. Forgiveness is to stop wrestling with your hatreds and hatreds, to stop holding something against somebody else, because at the same time that you're holding something against somebody else, you are holding that same thing against yourself. Now here's a statement again from Reverend Ike, and it's so important we're going to read it together. You see, I'm dealing with forgiveness from a different perspective altogether. You're not just simply doing the other person a favor by forgiving him or her. The first person that you do a favor to by forgiving is who? Yourself. Now, here's what Reverend Ike says, and repeat it as I shall read it. When I pause, you thunder it back at me, and let it cleanse you of hatred and hatred, even as we shall read it. Everything which you do not forgive yourself or another for.
Everything which you do not forgive yourself or another for.
Will be repeated in your experience. We're going to make this personal and in the first person. Everything which I do not forgive another for.
Everything which I do not forgive another for.
Will be repeated in my experience.
Will be repeated in my experience.
Until I do forgive. Now let me tell you a secret at the start of this lesson. Are you ready now? Whenever you find that you are continually drawing people into your life that hurt you in some way, it is very possibly because you are carrying either hatred or hatred, and you are not forgiving Now, I use the word Gertrude. I've never heard it before until Reverend Ike used it. I heard a minister on television give me credit for that. But this television minister said, Reverend Ike has coined the word Gertrude. And I said, God bless you. I know there are a lot of you good religious people here who would not dare have any hatred. You don't have any hatred in your heart. And some of you would be hateful, but you're scared of going to hell. And so you just forgive because you don't want to go to hell when you die. Well, I've got news for you. Hatred and hatred are hell already. Right here, right now. Because one definition for hell is that hell is a soul on fire with its own misery. And there is nothing more miserable than a heart full of hatred or hatred. Now listen, you're going to have to confess today, even if you don't have any hatred. But to go around feeling hurt is hell, isn't it? Is that right? Now, if you go through life continually getting hurt by people, collecting hurt, your soul will be on fire with its own misery. I keep telling folks, you don't have to physically die to go to either hell or heaven. I had breakfast in a heavenly place this morning. Coffee was $6 a cup. And I said, thank God for money. But I understood why the coffee was $6 a cup. And because there were antique chandeliers hanging everywhere. Aubusson carpets under my feet. Marble walls. And all of that luxurious ambiance. So I understood it was not just a cup of coffee. I said, this is heavenly. And I wasn't dead either. But a soul on fire with its own misery, with hatred and hatred, is already experiencing hell. So not only do you forgive people that did you wrong so that you don't have hatred, you have to also get rid of your hatred. Hatred is just as bad as hatred. Now again, if for some reason you get hurt, the first thing you have to do is not forgive the person. The first thing you do is forgive yourself.
Uh-oh.
What do you forgive yourself for? Forgive yourself for getting yourself into the position of what? Getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, this is one of the major differences in this teaching. In this teaching, you are absolutely positively responsible for everything that happens to you. That's why a lot of people don't want this. Because we don't give you a devil for a scapegoat. You can't say around here, the devil made me do it. Around here, you're your own devil. You're your own God. And no one can choose the path that you may trod. And none can save you from error or sin unless you will listen to the Spirit within. But you see, these thousands of years of religious conditioning has conditioned people to have so many convenient scapegoats. And I'm going to say it again, and I remind myself of this every time. Whenever you get hurt or offended in any way, it's because you either consciously or unconsciously put yourself in position to get hurt or offended. So when you get hurt or offended, maybe you won't pray a religious prayer. Maybe you'll pray a prayer like I pray. Lord, forgive me for getting myself in position for that SOB to hurt me. Let me clean it up a little bit so that all of you who don't have as much good religion as I've got can pray. It takes a lot of religion to pray the kind of prayers I pray. You see, God doesn't get offended in me. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Let me hear every one of you say, God,
I forgive myself.
For getting in position to be hurt or offended. And you know a great secret I found out? Once I forgave myself, I didn't even have to forgive the other person. Because once I forgave myself, it was wiped out. Reverend Ike, you mean to tell me that I'm the cause of that person offending me? I'm the cause of this person hurting me? I'm the cause of the person doing this, that, or the other to me? Yes, you are. You know where I'm at, and I'm right at the point now when Jesus began to teach and to tell the people the bold faith truth. They started leaving one by one. But this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And only the 12 disciples stuck around. He said to them, will you go away too? They said, no, Lord, lay it on us. Suck it to us. Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. So one of the things around here, you learn not only that you are responsible for what happens to you, but you can also control what happens to you. And let me tell you this. Until you forgive, give up, root up, and let go of all hatred and hatred, you are going to continue to draw one series of hatred and hatred after another. I told you that the subconscious mind works in patterns. And to forgive is the rooting up and the letting go of all hatred and hate. You've got a big job when you get home this week. You've got a lot of root work to do. And I'm going to tell you something else. Once you discover that it's really yourself that you've got to forgive, it's really easier then to forgive, because then you don't have to deal with that SOB. I want to read this with you one more time, and then I'm going to let you take notes. Repeat it after me again. Everything which I do not forgive,
myself,
or another for,
will be repeated in my experience
until I do forgive.
Now, you notice how people have experiences in patterns. They're those people who say, as they said in the song about Charlie Brown, why is everybody always picking on me? Well, because Charlie Brown has a subconscious pattern of being hurt and picked on.
Uh-oh.
The song Born to Lose also shows a losing subconscious pattern of mind. And when you want to break the pattern of being hurt and offended by people, forgive them and hatred and hatred will lose power in your life. Forgive yourself and forgive all others and thereby free yourself from the wages of sin. As long as hatred and our hatred are rooted in your consciousness, they will bring forth their bitter, poisonous fruit until they are uprooted. Whatever is rooted in consciousness will bring forth after it kind. I'm about to deal with feeling for the moment. Whatever you feel deeply in your heart, you will draw to you. This is why if you feel lonely, I'm not talking about just a momentary thing. We have to learn how to handle those momentary moods. And if they're momentary and we change them immediately, they can't hurt us. But if you form a pattern of feeling lonely, that becomes rooted in your consciousness and you will be a lonely person. If you feel picked on, hurt, offended, plotted against, like you're a victim of hard luck, if you feel all of that in the depth of your subconscious mind, if that is rooted in your subconscious mind, you're going to draw that kind of thing into your experience. Because it is awareness, speaking as Jesus, which reveals, I am the root and the offspring. Say that.
I am the root and the offspring.
And I am is awareness. And if you have a feeling, which is a deep awareness of being hurt and offended, you're always going to get those offsprings of hatred and offense. All experience springs from the root of subconscious awareness. Say that loudly.
All experience,
Springs from the root of subconscious awareness.
Forgive yourself
for every occasion
of being hurt or offended.
Yes.
Forgive yourself
for what others did to you.
Now,
the
way to stop the ripple.
Protect your temple with the Solomon's Temple.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
What's going on?
Yeah, peace, God.
Peace, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's up? Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I don't know what was going on. I was had hooked up and that thing wasn't doing nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I just heard it go blank.
Yeah, I stopped it and started talking, but then all of a sudden, I don't know.
Yeah, I can hear the music, you know.
You can hear the music? Yeah, you can hear
Yeah, I can hear Reverend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm good, man. Shoot, right, I got to come see you. It's hard to get to Columbia these days.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know, man. You know I'll make sure I be there.
Yeah, yeah. When you wish your schedule like this week?
I have to talk to the person that do the scheduling.
Okay.
I don't never know the schedule. Sometimes when I come in, I don't know who I'm going to see that day. I just know what time to be there.
Okay. I might need to just call them and tell them to put me on the schedule.
That's yeah, they'll put you on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I'm going to make sure I take care of you.
Yeah. Man, it's just been one of those, I got to get, it's been a minute, so I got to get in there.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's been real interesting.
Yeah. Man, the universe, it's going to always be there, this university.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this university is always.
Yeah.
And everybody always finish, and everybody always you can't get off this until you finish your university course. You see?
Nope. Can't.
It ain't no chicken, no lawyer, no nothing. It's,
yep.
You know, you see the past. Are you gonna repeat the great?
Right.
You know? Man, I be doing readings on people, man, and it'd be crazy, man, because you would see, like, I be seeing combinations that you would never think to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where certain karmas that people have, you wouldn't think they would have that different type of karma. They don't usually go together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it shows that the soul been struggling with a lesson for a few incarnations.
Yeah.
You know, because certain lessons just don't go together. You know.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I guess, you know, once you become aware that you got stuff to take care of, better take care of it. And figure
yeah, that's
out what
right.
it is you need to learn, or you're going to keep repeating the same. And that's what I'm finding. A lot of people don't, they know they got stuff to take care of, but they want to put it off.
That's right. And you just add on to it. And these mm-hmm. things are difficult to do. They're not, you know, even with myself, it's not easy. It's meant to be hard, and because you're gonna gravitate to particular tendencies,
mm-hmm.
and it's just easier
mm-hmm.
to do those things. It's just easier, you know. It's easier to eat the candy. You know, the
right,
candy
because,
tastes good.
Well,
it's just easy.
That's because we've been programmed to eat that candy. mm-hmm. at an early age, you know, the first, you know, one of the first things you do, they give kids is sweets.
No, I'm just,
you mean, yeah, you're talking in general.
Yeah, like when a person diabetic, they know they ain't supposed to do something. And they know better, but they still do it. And they know in their mind they're just bad for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they know that. But then you got this tendency that you're trying to overcome. You know, mm-hmm. and you know you ain't supposed to do this, but goodness, it's easy and it's a false mm-hmm. reward. So what happened is you diabetic for literally 50 years.
mm-hmm.
50 years diabetic. It's real interesting. You know? Yeah.
And I know some diabetics that refuse to just eat right.
That's right. Refuse
no matter what. Just refuse to And don't tell them nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing I'm learning, man. Just let people live out they what they want to live out. They want to kill themselves, let them. You know?
Really? Man, tell me about it. We really don't got no choice.
Mm-mm.
It's tough, too, because, you know, it's a dual less.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you love people more than they love themselves. And it always be like that. You know?
Right.
And, you know, one of my things is I got to learn how to mind my own business.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, when you're a person who helps a lot of people and you hear them say something, your mm-hmm. response is to kind of try to help them see something a better way. But a lot of people just don't want a better way, man.
They don't.
They get upset with you for trying to stop them from hurting themselves. And, right. I'm starting to think that's part of the process. That's one of your comments you got to learn, one of your lessons.
That's right.
To learn that it's everyone's right to live or to die by their own hand.
That's right. By their own hand. That's right.
And it's not my job to intervene with that. Unless they come to me. Unless they looking for an answer. But just a voluntary offer it, you know.
Yeah, but shit, a lot of times they asking, but they don't want it. And that's
the other tough part. But see, that's when you get to the point where you say, you know what, hey, you came to me and asked. I don't care what you do. And then you leave it right there.
Some people are just venting.
Mm-hmm. They don't want solutions, man. They don't want none. I know somebody with chronic arthritis.
That's right.
And you've actually tried to help him one time, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Now the it's so bad they're wearing braces now.
That's right.
This is a person that hasn't even reached 50 yet. Well, they're about to be in a few months. They wearing braces. The cartilage is almost gone, and I said, hey, you know, you already knew that this was going to get there. You know, the medication is just going to keep making it. All it's doing is treating the pain. It's not treating the problem. So that's it. That's it right there. They're looking for the immediate result without changing the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for the quick fix. And that's what, you know, regular, you know, medication does. That's the quick fix, something that temporarily make you think it's, you know, they taking care of something or take care of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then they went, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get back on, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to contact Solomon, I'm going to do all this. And then a couple of days later, you know, I figured out what the problem was. I didn't take that injection. I didn't take that medication. Once that kick in, I'll be fine. You see,
mm-hmm.
they go back to the very thing that has really made the problem worse. Because how can you be getting all of these treatments and you're not getting better? Then that means that the treatment is not working.
That's
you're just
right.
managing pain right now. And they will always, and it goes back to the programming. You know, you throughout your life, you've been programmed. You need to, you know, they start kids off very early. Go
right.
get, go get the shots. Take the kids to the doctor. That's all part of a process.
Right.
Programming to believe that this whole medical industrial complex is the savior when it comes to your health. And it's, and I mean, if you look
that's
at the
right.
numbers, it is not the savior. It's actually the opposite. I mean, it kills over 600,000 people a year. That they admit to. How can something be a savior when it, when they admit that they kill people by accident or through medical treatment?
Right.
600,000. That's not a savior. That's a problem.
That's right.
You know, that's about on par with the flu does every year. Just catching the flu
that's
can
right.
kill you, right? But in that, and most of those people who catch the flu are getting treatment. Then they die. So you got to ask yourself, what really killed them? Was it the
that's
treatment
right.
or, you know? So, you know.
See, that's deep what you're saying, you know. Because, see, as long as you still on this earth and you hadn't expired, you can cure that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you know, with the solution hadn't been found, like a, you know, a person that's born blind,
mm-hmm.
there's always that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But the person got to accept that possibility and buy into it. Because, like, you got a lot of people that are getters and get things, but they won't try to fix it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Now, and the reason why, there's blocked energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be referred to like it's literally a blind spot. You know,
mm-hmm.
blind spot is like powerfully compacted energy that's stored, that's like blocking your emotional or mental body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes individuals will not be able to see exactly what's in front of them. You know, for example, like me, like we could be building on some stuff, right? And a person, when they don't have this blind spot or this block, when they hear truth,
mm-hmm.
they be like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
The literal aha. Aha effect.
Mm-hmm.
The aha moment. When
mm-hmm.
somebody brings you, you know, like an interesting revelation about your life, an important
right.
truth, you know. When you hear certain shit, you know, oh, shit, hell yeah, I feel that, you know. It's real frequent. And when these people, that's why a lot of people can't get on the things. So there's a herb that you could use that'll help people get past this blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
See? And it's the five leaf grass, you see.
Right.
You know, you take a bath in that, it's a real powerful spiritual herb. You know,
mm-hmm.
the effect is to balance this energy. You know, it disperses this energy out of the emotional body, you know, or the mental body, you know. It,
mm-hmm.
But now it won't destroy it. It just take the block. okay?
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the blight energy and do something with the information you receive instead of just ignoring it. Like, you can, another example is this blind spot is like, you're talking about something deep and the nigga get quiet on you.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The person
you start seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you start seeing heads roll up in their head, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we talking about all this shit, and all of a sudden they get quiet. You know, mm-hmm. Now sometimes a person can be processing information. They don't want to feel stupid. Now, that's the case, too. But with somebody just totally just change the conversation and to totally dismiss what you said. I'm not talking about a person that hears something and you can tell when somebody just putting on or something. Nobody want to feel stupid, by the way. So mm-hmm. You got people that might just want to, you know, but you know that shit. Like mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason why I don't talk too much anymore. You know, I don't push it. You know, I just... Like, I can now... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, another example of this block energy, and people might not realize it's a block energy, when you keep reading a paragraph a bunch of times, like you're reading something and you just get stuck on that paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's like you keep reading the damn sentence, and you've read the sentence, and this ain't going like, damn, you ain't going nowhere. A lot of people have trouble with reading because it's actually blocked energy. They can't take on this energy of the book that they studying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't talking about a boring school book. You know, I'm just talking about just taking on some new science.
Right.
You know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the block. I noticed lately, this time, early part of this year, it's been real hard to focus on anything. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's the I've heard other people make the same complaints. See, basically,
mm-hmm.
it's like it's one of those things you just got to force yourself into focusing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been having a little trouble over the last few weeks like that. So,
yeah, that mental fog, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
see,
just
you
wondering
know,
it's just the energy of the planet right now.
Yeah. Yeah, man, they're doing so much. And see, one thing that people stop talking about, you don't hear it no more
mm-hmm.
because it's on everybody's phone now. And it's funny, and people thinking they be on the shit, but it's really the media that control it all. It's
mm-hmm.
the 5G energy. And kids back in the school. We on 5G, and it never was a protest for it. They just stopped talking about it. They just gave you the damn 5G. And when you are spiritually sensitive and you can feel and sense everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can affect people more.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing a lot of, and it's funny, man, I've been seeing a lot of people that used to never get rattled.
Mm.
Two people individually, that I individually know, they keep going back and forth to the hospital, and there's nothing wrong with them.
Mm.
But they just, and I was talking with one of the brothers the other day, and it's like, and he started laughing. I said, man, ain't shit wrong with you. You'd have been to the doctor 4 times. I got all your blood work. There's nothing wrong. But he just convinced there's something wrong with these organs. And I'm like, okay. I said, let's look on my phone. Them boys going to tell you when something wrong with you.
Yep.
Specialist, everything. And so this is an example of what you're saying is that energy. And it's like, it ain't nothing wrong. And so, man, yeah, come get all these herbs for all this stuff, herbs. And so what he needs is a spiritual bath. And to feed his nervous system, it's on overload. You see, you know, brothers that do business and that shit is emotionally and mentally draining.
Yes, it is.
To have to show up every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no knock if you work for somebody, but when you go for yourself, you got to show up every day.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have no bad.
Mm-mm.
You know, so freedom ain't free.
Yeah, when you reach yourself, you have to deal with everything. You can't pass the buck.
That's right.
Especially if you don't have a team to take the, you know, take some of the pressure off. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get a good team because in this day and age now, for some reason, man, everybody think they damn bosses now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to worry. And see, this is the thing. We tell everybody that do your own thing. Hey, yo, it ain't supposed to be like that. And trust me, I'm not hating on nobody. I want the best for everybody. But the order of the universe is contrary to the order of the universe. I mean, straight up. What they don't realize is some people are meant to work for people. And most people were still rich.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are born team players.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's an order to this universe, and it's a reason. If you look at it in nature, you look at it on the animal, the insect, you got certain insects that's designed to do certain things. You got certain animals. Mm-hmm. You see all animals, you know. Everybody ain't meant to be the damn leader. I don't know where this shit come from.
Right. Not everybody got that in them, no. Like, I try to encourage people to do that, but I also know
cut that shit out.
Not everybody can do that or want to do it. And the ones that say they want to do won't do it.
Mm-mm.
So you only try to reach a few people, that's it.
If I ain't been to reading, I just say it, just to damn say it, because people will perceive it as hate. You know, you got all these people, that, you know what I'm saying, and then they struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And they thinking they doing their own thing, but they, you know what I'm saying, been living with their mama for 50 years. You know what I'm saying? But yet, in their mind, they think they, you know, and it's, but see, this don't make you less than.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can't do it without this collective. But one thing for sure, if everybody tried to be that, it would not work because it's a saying, too many chiefs and no Indians. You see? And everybody want to get there, but nobody don't want to support and tell you the truth. Support is better than anything. That's what the whole thing in the mythology with Jesus, the 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you get that mastermind going and it works, you see. And seeing the same thing with these women. These women have developed a masculine ego now. And now they don't want to support man no more because they got their own little dumbass dreams. And I know this upset people when I say that because a lot of people been raised by their mamas. I get it. You know, you raised by mama and you got this overinflated thing about women. You know, I get it. You know what I'm saying? And trust me, man, you talking to the biggest mama boy in history. I love my mama, and I talk to my mama every day. And the respect I have for women is off the charts. But at the same time, there's an order to this universe. You see, it's like these sisters, where they're not raising their kids no more because they're too busy chasing these dreams. You know? And it's like, man, I see more men with their kids now than I see women.
Mm-hmm.
First, I thought it was something that was just in my mind.
No, it's not.
I literally see more men with their kids. I mean, it used to be you never seen a father with their child. If they with their child, it was a big deal. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a lot of things that I'm seeing, I don't remember my mom and them. And then it's like, okay, some people say, well, my grandmama didn't work too.
Mm-hmm.
They try to say, well, the women didn't work shit. My grandmama and them, all of them was working. I don't know. I know it was some that didn't. But shit. Mm. What you think them damn women were doing when they was working for them? Because I always took, for us, that's typical for black people to have two people working.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then you seeing these, even seeing, it's like you can see the where you see the woman at, that's the level that society is at.
Yes.
Society is, well, if you want to see where they get, look at society and sales drastically. Now, they always were whores. They always been here. We know that. Okay. But the percentage went like it is now. It's like now what we used to consider the neighborhood hoe is almost the standard now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what you got now is the line between what you define a whole, what we define a whole when we were younger is pretty much like you said, is people call it, women call it dating. I'm dating.
That's right. Yeah.
So if they're not in an exclusive relationship, it's okay for them to date and have sex with every guy they date. Mm-hmm. That's their motto. Is if I'm dating, it's okay for me to just have, you know, casual sex, whatever.
Yeah.
Not realizing what they're doing to their bodies and their mental, actually. They're destroying their spirit when they live like that.
That's right.
You know, and not being selective. You know, I'm just going to see how this goes type thing. They're destroying. Now, a woman is not designed to sleep with a lot of men in her lifetime. Not designed.
They can do it.
They can do it, but you.
That's right.
See, the thing is, they don't notice it, but men notice it. They see what women have done, especially our sisters. They have not taken into consideration how aware we are of them. The reason why they have not taken into consideration is because whenever you say something like, just say something, oh, you're overweight, they get offended.
Get
you know,
offended.
I don't like to hear, I don't like the fake weed. They get offended. So men have stopped getting into those battles. So they don't say anything. So, but to a woman's mind, if you're not saying anything, then it's not a problem. But
that's
so far from the truth. It is a problem. We just ain't going to fight with you on it. And the one thing about us, and I think we need, this is where we need to get better at. We'll sleep with a low standard woman just to sleep with her, just so we can get off. Instead
that's
of,
right.
Because if we didn't, because see, in a way, to a woman, that's validation. That, you know,
that's
he slept
right.
with me, I'm getting it. And it really isn't validation. For us, it's like, you just gave us your body, the most important thing you got. You just gave it to us, and okay, you can place important on it, but we don't place important. You're never going to get married to me. You're not going to be the woman I'm going to take care of and raise a family.
That's right.
But that's the thing. Women don't prioritize that anymore. They prioritize going to school and getting education, and I'm just going to date and see,
mm-hmm.
you know, see what I can get out of the men I'm with. And
that's
then
right.
At a point, but here's the thing. Women want that. They want that committed relationship. Why? Because they're always spending time trying to keep a man from cheating.
Always.
Right? Something that they have not been able to. Now, here's the stupid part about that. They have not been able to accomplish that throughout history. So why do they keep trying that, trying to stop a man from cheating? That is such an unsuccessful recipe to put your focus on that it's just a waste of time. You're not stopping a man from cheating, just like a man is not stopping a woman from cheating. It's
not doing it.
You're not going to do it. The man's going to cheat, you're going to cheat, woman's going to cheat, going to cheat. But women put a lot of focus on that. Well, he cheated, he this and that. And these are the reasons why they're leaving relationships, because they say he cheated. Most of the time, that ain't even the case. But women just leave relationships because they get bored. Yeah, and they want something different. They feel like they did something too young. And then in their 40s and 50s, or 35 and up, now they're trying to reinvent the wheel and thinking that they have high value when now they don't.
They don't. It's way lower.
A woman's value is when she's, right after her, from 18 and up, that's where her to around 25. That's where she's, most sought after by men. Once they get past that point, you're just options now.
Right.
You're available for me to have sex with? I'll have sex with you. That's a hard pill for a lot of women to swallow.
And they way quicker to have sex at their age too, way quicker. They throw it at you now.
Yeah. And they don't realize once you put a lot of miles on yourself. But what I'm saying, men are aware of whole tendencies in women. But they won't tell you that they won't put on that I know you a hoe. I know you. Because all we looking
That's
for
right.
first initial meeting is, okay, we just wanted to have this little short conversation, whatever you allow me to do until I get to the point of having sex with you. That's our first instinct.
That's right.
That's really what we're about. That's how we are. And I tell her, I tell my wife that, hey, this is what we are as men. What makes
That's
us
right.
long term is how you carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but
what
now,
makes us. You like that? Yes, I'm like that. That's my initial meeting with you was, okay, how much I thought in my head, how much conversation I have to give you or time I got to give you before I get you in the bedroom. Now, that's what I'm saying we got to get better at, being up front, saying this is really a transaction. Now what makes you valuable to me is how you carry yourself. That's it. And if you carry yourself like someone that just it's for everybody, then that's how you're gonna get treated.
That's right.
You have no boundaries. You don't have no boundaries on your appearance. Women are just damn near dressing naked now.
Anytime.
They might as well not have anything on. And that's the norm now. That is the norm.
And you know something that's not helping it? You got this. I mean, okay. Hooray. The nigga is a billionaire. Clap, clap, clap. He's a billionaire. But he's one of the biggest idiots on TV right now. This nigga is insane. But I know, he a billionaire. He know how to, but he would not be a billionaire if these people didn't know how to exploit him.
Mm-hmm.
They getting paid too.
About?
Kanye West. Both people paid. You know what I'm saying? I just wish he'd just take his ass off TV and get some help.
The problem with Kanye is he makes a lot of good points.
Right.
But he don't know when to make the point.
That's
right. You gotta understand, you're not gonna sway public opinion when it comes to that rap game and entertainment. Entertainment got an agenda to uplift one group and destroy another.
That's right.
That's it. So you're not gonna come out as a rapper and become an activist and be successful at it in that game. Just not. Because what they're going to do is, because now you exposing their game, because they allow rappers to talk and call our women hoes and we're drug dealers and we're killing each other. That is okay. That message is okay for rappers that look like us to promote. Now, if the same rapper was to make a rap song about killing the police or even killing another group of people, there would be outrage over that.
That's right.
It just shows you how hypocritical the industry is. It's only allowed when it's talking about us. So now Kanye's coming in trying to do all this uplifting and say stuff and do stuff. Wait a minute. You can't, you outside of, you can't do this in this space.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't come in here like this when you first came on. You didn't come here like this. You
That's
signed
right.
your contracts. You came in. Yeah, you spoke a little uplifting things in your rap, but you was not like at the front of the line of, you know, pushing for us to, you know, get a positive image. You wasn't there. Now you're trying to do that. Then you turn around and marry someone who looks like them.
That's the part. You know what? What you're saying right there, if he just did that one thing, if he changed his, well, he don't got it no more, but if he had a different woman,
mm-hmm.
that's the part that makes him look like a lunatic. You're crying right. over a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was a lunatic when he thought he could make that girl his woman.
Right. But see, the thing, I have to ask myself, what was his mentality even marrying her?
That exactly. And then you dragging this crap out. Man, this is your chance to really change your life. You gave this trash $1 billion. And you're
right.
fighting. Man, you was up for what.
Any gift
from,
she
man.
Gave him was from his money.
From his money. And like that boy that he get mad at, that boy having fun. He don't like her. He using her as a way to get
pawn.
Recognized.
Right. Right. To keep himself relevant. The man, that boy lived in the basement of his mother's house in Staten Island. That's where he was living. Last year. So that's sure how much paper he got, right? He
mm-hmm.
might be making some good money, but he ain't got the money Kanye worked. You know, he admits he lived in the basement of his mom. He admits that.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? That's where he was living when the pandemic hit. He has a good interview, but what I'm saying, yeah, he's a comedian. He's up-and-coming comedian. He could get, he probably going to get more big roles because of the beef he having with Kanye. But Kanye is supposed to be more smarter than that. Why are you feeding into that? And my thing is, like you said, well, who? I mean, I'm from a logical position. I would never date her.
No.
She got too much publicity on her with the guy she's been with. Why would I want to be reminded of all of the guys she was with before me?
That's right.
She was dating this guy. Now Kanye. Now him.
Like,
come on.
And it's not like that thing where you could be like, well, maybe, you know, like you said back in the day, maybe she didn't do it. Maybe just went
well,
out.
Well, looking at her track record from Kanye to this guy is if she stayed with this guy long enough, she going to get him to a point where he making a lot more money than he is. They may even get married. They might even have a child. Now, when that ends, now she got another legacy to tap on to.
That's right. And if you notice, I didn't notice they would keep going on about 4 children. That girl did that, what's that thing called? You know, now, what they're doing now, surrogate. It's like,
surrogate.
Man,
so she didn't actually have all those children.
Yeah. See, it's bigger than what people can even imagine. Like right now, I got 6 women, might be 6, 5 women I'm working with. Well, they all had something come up in their blood or something on their pap smear. And they can't, because like, it was this one girl, and right now I'm working with her now. She's like, I used to always see her pregnant. I'm like, damn, mm-hmm. I've been knowing this girl for years. And every time I see her, she got a baby. Or like her stomach is swole. But I never mm-hmm. saw a baby with her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it seemed like every so many years she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Real young girl. She might be 30 now, but I've been seeing this girl for about 12 years. And I know I done seen 4 babies come out of her, and ain't never seen a baby. And so then she mm-hmm. came to me and she was telling me that that her pap smear is off. I'm like, okay, so I'll work with her. And then she's like, I'm trying to, and then she told me what she was doing. And she's a surrogate mother. She made good money doing it. Good money.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing they got to do is make sure that they, you know, their blood work and their pap smears are good.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And so this industry is bigger than I actually thought. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize. I thought it was just a celebrity thing. Now, I think I'm not knocking people that do it, but the celebrities doing it because they just don't want to lose a so-called perfect body.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So what's mm-hmm. going to happen is you're going to see more women that have money do this option.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Daniel said all her kids was like that way.
What you mean?
She got 2 or 3 kids. Dr. Daniels, all her kids are in vitro.
Oh, she used another womb.
She wasn't with anybody when she did this. She carried the babies, but she got a donor, I guess.
Oh, okay. You know. But she used the man as opposed to the
right,
female.
Right. She wanted her own children, but she didn't. She wasn't married or anything. She just wanted to have children. And so she decided to do that.
That's interesting. Because sometimes you can get a guy to have a baby. You know, Dave Chappelle made that joke. And I didn't think about it too.
Well, I don't think she picked a black man. I don't think she picked a black man. I don't think she did that.
Yeah.
When I talked to her, that's one of the reasons why I really stopped doing interviews with her, because I was like, your mindset, you have my brain, my skin color, but your mindset is not even close to what we as a people relate to.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes, man, when you got so much genius in you, it can, you know, it's only so much, you only can use a certain percentage of you,
mm-hmm.
or you can, okay, we say we only use 9% of our brain, which mm-hmm. is an argument. However, we also have this thing called your profile, in numerology, we call it your planes of expression. Well, in your planes of expression, you got a lot of different attributes and gifts. For instance, somebody could be strong athletically, intellectually, and then they don't have no spiritual gifts, or they can be, and sometimes you'll find people be too many strengths in one area, but they lack it in other areas. You know, it's rare you can find somebody that's balanced in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So what you see is when you have a very pronounced gift, you're going to have a very pronounced weakness somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I do reading for people, I see, like, they got a lot of this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing. And then they're like, oh, that's good. But then I show them it's actually not good. Because right. you're lacking in all these areas. You see right. what I'm saying? Of course you want to play on your strength. But mm-hmm. when you just don't have it, the capacity. You know, when I worked in the laboratory, man, usually when you get people with extremely strong, like, superior intellectual capacity, like what you call the scientists that helped destroy this planet, what you're going to notice about them, and it's probably why they don't mind destroying the planet and killing people, and they don't have no social skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I always right. had social skills. So, like, when I used to be in the lab, I'd be trying to have, you know, talk with people, and they'd just be looking at me like, okay. They want to be left.
They're not even hearing what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and they just wanted to just do lab. They just wanted to do lab stuff. They don't have, like, if y'all, people go on about Albert Einstein and George Washington Carver and these people that perceived to us as great minds, and they were in a lot of respect, but what you're going to find is they were extremely weird in social
right.
set. None of them usually
right.
even dealt with women. They wasn't gay either, but some of them might have been gay. But it's just that region.
It was closed off.
Yeah, it just like it don't exist.
I think some of those guys is what they label now. What they label as autistic.
Yeah,
that's the label they're giving them people now.
That's right.
That's in that. I think they were in that area.
That's right.
They just was, you know, very focused on what they were doing, and nothing else
mm-hmm.
mattered.
That's right.
Everything else came secondary.
Because mm-hmm.
If you notice, like, what they call autistic, or what they try to call autistic, is nothing really wrong with these. It's nothing I see wrong. It's just I notice that they're very focused, and they have
mm-hmm.
a set way of doing things. And if they go outside of that routine, then
mm-hmm.
they have a problem. So they're
yeah.
routine people in an unroutine world where most people are not
yeah.
don't follow a routine. And that's what
right.
causes the conflict. Yeah.
And some of them are so developed artistically.
Mm-hmm.
Like what their creative faculty is and see that's what Kanye West has. He is the most creative, so creative musically, in a lot of ways, probably then, you know, it might even surpass Dr. Dre at some point. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? I mean, he really that level of his creativity,
mm-hmm.
you know, is, I mean, it's really, it's over the top. But then he's missing in other areas. And then it could be like a program, some kind of thing they did to him. It's something that's really awful.
Yeah, it's just
you know?
Bizarre that he's going in on this. Like, it's not mature. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
look mature at all. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, it's
you
after
know?
11. I know you got to go. You want to
yeah.
shout out your number?
Yeah. Now, you know, as far as the, you know, detoxing and spiritual, you know, this is a time to really make sure that your health is in line, you know. And the minimum everybody should do is, and then it's the change of the season. You should detox. You know, a full body detox, and we have the greatest detox products. You know, they pure, organic, wild crafted products. You know, you will get results. You know, so it's that change. We just jumped into the spring, which is actually the new year. You see,
mm-hmm.
so it's time for another spring cleansing. So, you know, you want to do your colon and your blood and do a full body detox with the Supreme Cleanse and the River of Life. Everybody should do it,
mm-hmm.
you know. Get a good spiritual bath So if you want our assistance, call us at 803-661-8945. And we're located on 7201 Park Lane Road in Columbia, South Carolina, Solomon's Temple. Yeah, right. God.
With all right, peace. I'll call them and set up a time with them.
Yeah, God. I look all forward to it.
It's a few. All right. Peace. All right, thanks. Peace.
You're listening to Solomon's Temple on Hindsight Radio.